I've been reading over a couple of weeks some of Malcolm Smith's little books, and I've been so encouraged and inspired by that that I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you today. And this is talking about how you can be alone without being lonely. Now, this is a challenge for some of us. You know, how many of us have been in a situation where we've felt lonely? It's an area that all of us, I'm sure, at some time have or will become vulnerable. But this little word is really timely because it re-emphasises some of the things that we already know about God and what he said to us. But yet there are just some new little insights that I want to share that will encourage and build us up. We all know, and we've said this before, that man's ultimate purpose is to be God's friend and his intimate companion. I think that's awesome. God made you for companionship. He made you for an intimate relationship with himself. That's his prime purpose in making man and woman. And if we go back to the beginning, into Genesis, we see how God made Adam and Eve. First he made Adam. And we see that Adam was made in God's image. Now, the creatures all had a mate. There was two of everything when we were kids. You know, we used to sing, I don't know if you ever did, Stephen, but they went into the ark two by two. Because every creature has its mate, male and female. But Adam was made in God's image, and God is both male and female in one person. And Adam, at that point, was both male and female. He was one person. He didn't have a mate as such. But the most important thing was that Adam had a relationship with God. And Adam was not lonely. He was alone, but he wasn't lonely. And he wasn't lonely for one reason. He was God's friend. He had God always there as his friend. And we read how God would come into the garden and he would find Adam, and Adam, I'm sure, would be waiting eagerly for him. And he would talk with God. You know, we're the only creatures that God ever created who could talk. They tried to tell us we came from monkeys. Never, 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 never in a million years did we come from monkeys. God made us a definite creature of our own. And we didn't evolve from anything. We're not evolving into anything. We are God's creation. We're created as man, and we're in God's image. And we're the only of all his creation who can speak and can communicate by talking. And this is wonderful because that's how Adam communicated with God. He would talk face to face with him. He would share with him. He would have fun with him. He would laugh with him. I just think this is amazing that he would have such fun with God on a one-to-one relationship. And because Adam had that type of relationship with God, it made him completely safe and secure. He didn't need anybody else to evaluate him, and he didn't need anybody else to fulfill his destiny for him. He knew who he was, and he knew he was safe. He was safe and secure in his creator. And that was the secret of Adam's success. And because Adam wasn't lonely, he never asked God for a mate. And this is interesting. It wasn't Adam who said, God, I need a mate, like all the other creatures. Adam was quite content in the relationship that he had with God. But it was God who said in Genesis 2 and verse 18, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Why did God say that? He could say that because Adam, he knew, was safe and secure in his relationship with God. And because he was safe and secure in that relationship, and God was first in his life, and his relationship with God came first in his life, then he knew that Adam was ready for human companionship. But until Adam had reached that point of fulfillment in God and knowing his identity in God, He did not have a mate. And I think that's beautiful. God established him where he needed to be in his relationship with God. God was first, and that he knew full well. And when he reached that point, God put Adam, as we know, into a deep sleep. And he took Eve, he took a rib from Adam. And out of that rib, he formed Eve. So Eve came out of Adam. And that, as Andrew said some time back, is a picture of Jesus, of the church being birthed out of the side of Jesus when he was crucified. It was a picture, a snapshot of what God was going to do down the ages. I think it's lovely when God gives us those little snapshots. But God gave Adam Eve, and she was beautiful to him. She was absolutely fantastic. And that relationship, God made them as one. They were whole. Eve was the female side, Adam retained the male side, but together they were one. But God was first in Adam's life. Well, we all know that Satan had a plan, and Satan's sole purpose was to separate man from God. He wanted to gain control of man, and the only way he could do it was to fracture the relationship between God and Adam. And his plan was, as always, and it still is today, he deceives, he lies, and he's very crafty. He's the craftiest of all God's creation. And Satan came and he deceived Adam, and he told a lie about God, and he said that Adam and Eve could be gods in themselves and still they could have independence from God. They could still be God and yet be independent of him. And nothing would change. Their eyes would be opened and they would see as God sees. And that would be the end of the story. And regretfully, Adam took the bait. And when he took the bait, immediately life became death. And for the first time in all of his experience, Adam became lonely. Why was he lonely? Because he'd been cut off from God. That was the only reason that he was lonely. And I want us to remember that. The only reason we can ever be lonely is when we are cut off or feel we are cut off from that intimate relationship with God. Don't ever let the devil lie to you. We've sung today, there's nothing you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him close the door. It's because of his great love he gave his only son, and everything was done so you would come. We heard last week about the prodigal son, and that blessed me tremendously, and we're just going to touch on that a little bit later. But once man became lonely, once loneliness came in, man's whole identity and relationship with God changed. And at that point, man became a lonely character. Loneliness became one of the greatest problems in mankind, and I believe it still is today. I know when we go to Teen Challenge, we see many lonely kids. They're looking for love. They're looking for identity. They're looking for acceptance. And maybe you've experienced that in your life. You know, I think we can look back and we see sometimes how we try to fit in with others to be accepted so that we gain their love and we gain their acceptance. And we allow others to shape our identity and to form our character. And some do it by manipulation. Some try to manipulate us because they want to gain control of us. And that's cruel. But, you know, God never, never has that relationship with us. Some people we see, they run from marriage to marriage, from relationship to relationship, always looking for somebody to give them identity, to give them purpose. And that was never God's intention. No human being can ever give you identity or purpose or can tell you what your destiny is. We cannot latch onto another human being and say, because I belong to this person, I am content. That's foolishness. We can never do that, because that person can walk out of your life, and then where are you? And I don't doubt, and I've experienced it myself, and I'm learning, as we all are, that we cannot rely on a person to be a prop to us. We cannot rely on one person to shape us and form us and to be our destiny or our purpose in life. We will always have this emptiness, and there will always be longings in our life that are never fulfilled. There's only God can fulfill the longings and the desires and the purpose in our heart and life. And we cannot latch on to, even to our partners, even to our husbands, wives. It's the most fantastic thing to be in a loving relationship. And, you know, we were today earlier on, we were giving one another a hug, weren't we? We were saying how wonderful these hugs are. And nobody, Ivy started off with the hugs. And they're very important to us to feel that security. But as good as that is, it's not sufficient. It cannot be the only thing that we have in life. We've got to go beyond that. We've got to know God's relationship. We've got to know God's friendship and his intimacy and all that he has for us. And no human can love us in the way that God loves us. God's love is totally unconditional. It doesn't say, if you do this, then I'll love you. If you meet the requirements, then I'll love you. No, it's totally unconditional. He says, wherever you are, I've seen you, I know you, I've drawn you, and you're mine. And no conditions, no strings attached. Yet sometimes we go through heart-rending situations, and you know, I don't underestimate how difficult it is when somebody loses a loved one. You know, we've all lost loved ones, and some, I think the ultimate must be to lose your partner, but when you lose a parent, it hurts, it's painful. And to some, that's the only person they've got in their lives. And that is a very painful thing. But God understands. And I want us today to think beyond that and to start to build the way God wants us to build, so that we're strong and secure in him. And when somebody's taken away from us, then we don't struggle with rejection and we don't fall over. But we remain strong, because it's not what they think about us. It's not their evaluation of us that counts. It's what God thinks about us. It's his evaluation that is the thing that we need to focus on. You know, there's not only us that are seeking companionship. When Adam fell, God lost mankind. And God's heart was wrenched. And from that point on, man has not only been seeking for God and not perhaps understanding what it's all about, but God has been still intimately in love with man and pursuing him and wanting to reconnect that relationship. God wants you with a passion and a desire. In Hosea chapter 11 and verse 8, this is God's cry to his children. I'm not actually turning to it, I've written this out, but it's Hosea 11 and verse 8. And God says there, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? My heart is turned over within me, and all my compassions are kindled. My heart's just crying out for you, Ephraim. Israel, how can I surrender you up? How can I give you up? You're my everything. You're all that I created you for. Let's read Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. This is another one. The prophet Zephaniah is speaking of what God is saying here. Verse 17 and chapter 3. The Lord your God is in the midst of you. A mighty one, a saviour who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing. I think that's beautiful. God's keeping no record of your wrongs, of your past sins. He's just rejoicing in you, in that relationship that he has birthed between you and himself. After Adam's fall, God started to make a plan. Well, he already had a plan before Adam fell. He knew Adam was going to fall. And before creation, he made a plan of restoring mankind back to himself. And the first part of that plan of salvation was with Abraham. And he cut a covenant, a blood covenant with Abraham. And that blood covenant blood had to be shed for mankind to be restored. And that was the first covenant that God cut with Abraham. And that covenant said that I am committed to you and everything that I have is yours. And everything that you've got is mine. Well, we don't have much to give to God, do we? But we have love, and God, that's what God is searching after. He wants our love, and he wants that relationship. But you know, it says in the Word of God that Abraham was called the friend of God, and that's what God wants from us. He wants to be your friend. If you get nothing else today, know this: God definitely wants to be your friend, and it won't be conditional. He will be your friend no matter how you respond. We see that later on Moses built a tent in the wilderness where the people could come and meet with God, and God's presence came down to the tent of meeting. We see how David, he used to go and sit on the Ark of the Covenant, didn't he? And there he would get into God's presence, and he would love to be in God's presence, and he thrived in it. He knew God. God excited him. He was thrilled with God. We see how Solomon built a temple for him. The greatest, grandest building, I think, that has ever been erected. Solomon built that to contain the presence of God. But we were talking on Wednesday about God said, hey, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. How can you build anything that can contain me? I fill the whole universe. How can I just fill a building? God, it's so small, our mentality of God. But God fills everything. But all these men had a relationship with God, but yet they yearned in the depths of their soul to never be separated from him, for that relationship to go on and on. But all they could do was go into the presence of God and come out of the presence of God. That was as much as they were allowed, because of the restrictions and because of their sin. But we know in Isaiah prophesied, and he spoke of a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, the most beautiful name. Emmanuel means God with us. And I want us to grasp hold of this. God, not in a tent or a tabernacle, but God residing within man. That is the most exciting thing that ever happened. God residing in you. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, he comes and he resides within us. And the relationship begins. You know, for 3 years, the disciples walked with Jesus on the earth. And they saw the signs, the wonders and the miracles. And that must have been something truly awesome. And they must have been devastated when he said some time later, I'm going away. The world must have rocked and reeled. He's going away? How can he go away? He's doing so much good. We're seeing so much happening. It's so exciting. People need him. He's got to stay. And Jesus said something else even more amazing to them. He said, it's for your benefit. It's to your advantage that I go away. How could this possibly be? How can it be to my advantage? What can be better than being in his presence, being physically with him and seeing what he's doing? But he said, no, believe me, it's to your advantage that I go away. And the reason is this, because another member of the Godhead is to come, and I have to make way for him. And I think this is beautiful. The third member of the Godhead was coming, but he couldn't come while Jesus was on the earth. He came when Jesus went back to heaven, and he came in Acts chapter 2 like a mighty wind. He came, and he came like in tongues of fire, and he rested on each of them. You know that we were always taught that at Pentecost the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and began to speak in other tongues. And there's only in that one part of Scripture where the word is interpreted as falling on somebody, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What it actually means, and in other areas, in other books of the Bible, that same word is interpreted. He came and he gave them, he came with a great embrace and a hug of divine love. Now, Ivy starts with hugs. Joan and I had just been talking about, hey, what about these hugs? It's fantastic when we can hug one another. And on the day of Pentecost, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did. He came and he embraced mankind. He hugged him and he embraced him in his arms. And he imparted divine love into his being. And man felt safe and secure. He knew who we belonged to. He didn't understand it, but he knew inside he was safe. He knew there was somebody hugging him and holding him inside who said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm here forever. When you go through the bad times, I'm here, I'm not leaving you. When you go through pain, I go through it with you. I'll never leave you, I'll reside within you forever and ever and ever. There'll not be a moment that I will have left you. And my presence will continually be with you. And we were talking about the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, if you remember, the father was looking for him. As Jolie said last week, the father was looking for him. And when he saw him, he immediately ran to him, fell on his neck and kissed him. He embraced him. Pig stink and all of it. He didn't care. He just did not care. He was so in love with his child. And that's exactly how he is with us. He's so in love with us. And the Holy Spirit, when he came, he brought his sole purpose, the main purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal the Father to us. But you know, I think we've lost something here. Because I've always been taught that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for anointing, is for signs, wonders and miracles. It's for the gifts of the Spirit. But that's not primarily why the Spirit comes. He brings all of that with him. But his prime purpose is to reveal the Father to us. Because as a third member of the Godhead, he's residing in us and he is drawing us and drawing us and drawing us to the Father. He's revealing the Father to us. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write this book, the Word of God. And so it stands to reason when you read the Word of God, that same Holy Spirit will teach you what's going on. He'll teach you what God is saying. He'll show you that great love that God has for you, and in which you are completely safe and secure. I read this little story and I was really blessed by it. There was a Brazilian pastor who was very discouraged in his ministry. Nothing was happening. It had been hard slog and he'd been at it for years. And in the end he said, that's it, I've had enough. And he decided he was going to quit. So he went to God and he said, God, I quit. He poured out all of his resentment, all of his bitterness, all of his disappointment, all of his discouragement. And eventually when his anger had subsided, he was silent. And the Holy Spirit said to him, he said, son, if that's how you feel, if being in the ministry has caused this rift in our relationship, then you must quit. Because the most important thing to me is my relationship and your relationship with me. Above any ministry, your relationship with me is the most important. That's how much God loves you. That's how much he wants you. He doesn't want your works, he wants you. You can't do enough for God. You can't ever be a worker for God and earn anything. He wants that relationship. He yearns for it. He longs for it. And he will give up everything so that he has your love and he can love you and he has your soul attention. And that's what he wants. So many churches measure men of God by how big the church is or what they've achieved. That's not God's measure at all. It's not about winning as many, the most souls in the town, in the city. It's about, hey, how close are you to God? How close will you let him come? What's your relationship like with God? You know, I've seen some men of God, and you think, yeah, you've got a big church, but where's your relationship with God? In fact, that very question came to me on Friday night when somebody told me which church they went to, and I thought, Their comment was, it's fab. And I thought, but your life's not reflecting anything about this fab. It's only touching your emotions. It's not got to your heart. God wants your heart. That's where his purpose and plan is. How do we get this relationship with God? How do we get to know that we're secure in God and that no matter what's happening around us, we won't be wobbled or we won't be shaken, our world won't fall apart if somebody close to us has to go or is taken from us or something happens? Firstly, we need to scrap our plan and we need to pursue God. You know, sometimes God gives us, I know we've had words of prophecy spoken over us and sometimes it seems like, God, will this ever come to pass? It's been so long. And I refuse to give up and hang on to them, but there's nothing I can do to make it happen. God requires of me one thing. And that is to put everything aside, all the prophecies, just leave them on one side and pursue him. Pursue that relationship, because out of that relationship, everything will come to me. That Brazilian pastor was really discouraged after he'd had his ranting and raving at God and after he'd heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. That was the beginning of his success. That was the beginning of God rebuilding him. And in time, he did have a huge church. And God had added everything into him. But we're back to this verse, aren't we, in Matthew 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our relationship with God is the prime purpose of our existence, and that's what we need to do. God has a plan for your life, and he's at work in every situation. Whether you're totally alone and with no human companionship, he is at work and it's his plan for your life. We look at Joseph. That inspires me, Joseph. It really does. He wasn't fazed. He knew he was. He was secure in God. And he wasn't lonely in a foreign land. He was taken to Egypt by slave traders and sold as a slave. He went down to the lowest of the low. But hey, he never gave up on God. He never went running after Potiphar's wife. He didn't seek some cheap relationship. That didn't appeal to him at all. He knew who he was. He knew that God had his hand on his life. And that no matter what happened to him, God would work it together for good. And God would bring him through to where he'd promised in his dreams he would come. And so he trusted God and he pushed on. He pursued God and he refused to be moved by circumstances. That inspires me. It really does. Because his brothers had set up for him what they called... they wanted to frustrate his dreams. But, you know, their very plan to frustrate Joseph's dream, God used as the plan to fulfill his dream. Hey, God's a master at turning every situation. And I want you to know today, no matter where you are, whatever's happening in your world, you are completely safe and secure in God. He's living within you, and this is what we need to focus. The third party, the third person of the Godhead, chooses to live in me. I need to listen in to what he's got to say to me. I need to hear him inside me. I need to feed and connect through the Word of God, that this spirit man, I might become more sensitive and grow and develop that relationship so that I hear him more readily and I know what he's saying. Joseph said to his brothers, he said, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Whatever's happening in your world, you might think, why have I gone through this? Why this awful loneliness? Why are things so desperate? Why am I not seeing happening what God has said? I want you to know that you're safe and secure in God. It doesn't mean God's left you. It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means this is part of the plan. And God will use it to ultimately bring you to where he wants you to be. So don't get rocked. Don't wobble. Don't shake. Don't be afraid. What's God say 366 times in the Word of God? Fear not. The devil wants to make you afraid. He wants to tell you all sorts of lies. Don't even listen to it for a minute. Because God's plan, he's not diverted from his plan. But just embrace every day, even if it's a bad day, embrace it and say, God, I know you're in today. I know you're with me today. And if I fight this day, I'm not fighting circumstances, I'm fighting you. And I don't want to be fighting you, because I can't win. I just want to take a day at a time. I just want to rest in you. I just want to stay close to you. I want to tune into you. I want to focus on you in me, knowing that every word that comes out of my mouth, you hear. Everything I look at, you see. Everything I hear, you hear. Everywhere I go, you go. Everything I do, you're doing it with me. Hey, can you get any closer? Can you get... Even Andrew can't be that close to me. As much as I love him and love the relationship, I can't get that close. And that's why God says, I must be your prime lover. I must be the one you love above any other. I must be the one that you build your relationship, because I hold your destiny. I want to see your destiny fulfilled. So today I'd say to all of us, tear up your plans and just build that relationship with God, because everything else will come together at the right time. You'll be in the right place. You won't miss it. You'll enjoy the ride. You'll have a fabulous time. You won't be stressed. You won't be upset. You won't be heartbroken. Yes, you will have hurts. You will have pains. God's there with you, and he'll take you through it, and he'll bring you into joy because he delights in you. And I just want to finish by reading Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It's good that we can accept our present circumstances, because it's all part of God's plan. So don't hesitate to accept your circumstances at this minute. Everything is subject to change, and it can change like that. Might take a while. Are you in there for this relationship for the long haul? I certainly am. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, and I'm reading from the Amplified version, and it starts part way through the verse. And it says, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way leave you, fail you, or give you up. I will never leave you without support. I will not, three times he says it, not in any degree leave you helpless. I will never forsake you, I will never let you down, I will never relax my hold on you, most assuredly not. Well, I can really keep going at that. How about you? Can we keep going through all adversity, through all pain? Can we push through? Can we allow God to take us through? Can we get to the other side? We can get to the other side. Because it's not us, it's all about God. And I just thank him that my relationship with him is the most important thing, because he loves me. Amen. Praise God.